This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Yes.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City football.
Come on, you foxes!
TV.
Taking a look back at the game.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right at the back. How the devil are we all? Happy with that draw? Watford? At least they are one team we have managed to beat this season, which is more than can be said of Sunday. How are we feeling after that? Oh, annoyed? Well, we've got a show tonight. We're going to welcome on Josh from Aston Villa fan site, a view from the stands. One of us is going to be happy. I don't think it's going to be me somehow. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I've been better. Yeah. I've got to be honest with you. You must be happy.
Yeah, very happy. You know, it was one of those games where obviously we just lost to Manchester City in the midweek. Yeah. And, you know, it was sort of a fantastic start from Steven Gerrard back to reality playing Manchester City. And I just didn't know how the game was going to go before kickoff. It was one of them, Leicester. I think it's for many oppositions this season is we don't know what to make of Leicester. We don't know if we're going to come up against a very good Leicester or a Leicester who are there for the taking. And it was the second one for me on Sunday. It was a Leicester there for the taking, and that's absolutely what happened.
Unfortunately, it was. I mean, we are totally confused. I am ending up, I know I am sounding like an Arsenal fan here, you know, expecting that, you know, because we finished top five, we should be finishing top five again. I know that's going to be that hard, but it's just a completely different Leicester side. I mean, as opposition team coming to play Leicester, you know, all you've got to do is get a corner. And you might as well, I mean, you know, I think it was Martin Tyler on Sky literally said, sometimes getting a corner against Leicester is as good as a goal. Literally, he hadn't finished saying that, and you got your second goal. It was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, can we go back, you know, to take you back as a Villa fan? What went wrong with Dean Smith?
Tough one. It probably started back end of last season, really, where there was talks that actually Christian Perslow wasn't happy with the fact that we didn't push on to finish in Europe last season. It looked at one stage that we could have got top eight. And then our season sort of plateaued between March and April, and we completely fell off. And from there was a little bit of unrest. And as I said, we've got these new owners who have got very lofty and high ambitions for Aston Villa and demand us to be in Europe. And, you know, that's the expectations there. I think the one thing for Dean Smith that I think if you look back on now is, a little bit of rub of the green didn't go his way. The bad run started from when we lost to Wolves, 2-0 up, and we ended up losing, which, you know, again, you look back at that and you think we should never, ever have lost that game being 2-0 up at home, but we did. From there on, it just completely capitulated. Dropping Tyrone Mings could have been seen as a brave decision, but didn't. And I think maybe became too pally and players weren't intimidated by him. I'd say intimidated. Mm-hmm. Players weren't sort of, you know, in awe of Dean Smith in terms of his regimented approach. And Gerrard's come in, done the complete opposite. And it's fantastic to see.
I mean, Dean Smith, he was a club legend, wasn't he, really? He got you promoted. But was it a case as well? I mean, you did have a bad luck that your bad run seemed to be when sort of Grealish was out injured. And, you know, you can never say that any team is only one player, you know, but we might with Tielemans, but you know what I mean? You can't really say that. But it did seem to coincide with that. But was it a case of maybe he just taking you as far as he could? Because managers do have sort of their limits, I guess, don't they?
Possibly, yeah. He'll argue he was ready to take us to Europe. For me, yeah, maybe we looked a little bit lost tactically. He was chopping and changing formations. One of his arguing sticking points that he tried to make to the board was that three of his summer signings had only played basically the best part of 60 minutes together, all three on the pitch, Bailey, Ings, and Buendia. So I can see that. But ultimately, Aston Villa fans, they love Dean Smith. You won't find one Aston Villa fan that will say a bad word about him. And I think it's even more helpful that the Gerrard transitions worked even well. So people can say, thank you, Dean Smith. And the fan base isn't split whether he should have gone or not.
And he sort of walked into Norwich quite quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think that shows, you know, the profile that Dean Smith holds. You know, for me, if he goes down into the Championship, he'll come straight back up. Likewise, though, he's got a little bit of bite and hunger to try and prove a lot of people wrong that he could keep this Norwich team up. And I think if Dean Smith does keep Norwich up, could be one of the, you know, could be up there for me, one of the biggest recognitions of the season if he does that.
You'd almost like to say that he would deserve manager of the season. You know he wouldn't get it because that will go to Pep or Tuchel, whoever, you know, wins the league. But then Steven Gerrard came along. You must have thought your Christmas had come early, mustn't you?
Yeah, I was quietly very, very happy about this. Half my side of my family are Scottish, all Rangers fans. So I've watched a lot of Rangers in the last couple of years. And there was one thing that I noticed at Rangers, which was he had a clear style of play. For a manager to also go unbeaten, it doesn't matter what league you play in, for a manager to go unbeaten domestically in the league in a whole season, I think is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And Steven Gerrard, the name carries itself.
Yes. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. You know, the Invincibles did it. Arsenal, obviously, down here once in a blue moon. I forget when it was, but it was a while ago. It was interesting to see. I was waiting to see what Rangers fans' reaction was, because the way that Brendan left Celtic to come to Leicester was almost identical to the way Gerrard left Rangers to come to you, fraudulent slip there. And it was pretty much, they weren't happy, were they? Which I guess is natural.
I think it's a positive sign that if the football club is angry and the supporters are angry that they've lost their man, Gerrard's reputation now is a little bit tainted up in Scotland, but is he probably that bothered? No. He's got bigger fish to fry down here now. So, yeah, it's a good reaction, in my opinion, knowing that we've got ourselves a great manager.
Do you think, you know, when we got Brendan Rodgers, we thought, great, we've got him. He's come. He's got this plan in place. And we didn't think he's going to be with us. And I don't think managers are these days. It can be like a Ferguson or a Wenger, where they're there for 20-odd years at a club. But, you know, we thought with Brendan, well, he might be here for sort of maybe 4 or 5 years, then a bigger club will come in and take him. Do you think you are the starter for Gerrard's main course at Liverpool?
I think, naturally, one day he'll want to manage Liverpool. There's no doubt about it. Personally, would I go in after Jurgen Klopp? No, because I think you've got such big shoes to fill that you're almost set up for failure. You see it with Sir Alex Ferguson. You see it with Arsene Wenger. You know, it's such big shoes to fill. So for me, Gerrard could stay at Villa for 4 or 5 years, in my opinion, if it all works out. He could take us to the lofty ambitions that we have of getting back into European football. And so, look, I do think eventually Villa, if he does well here, will be that starter for him to go on and manage a Liverpool, a big club. But I'm happy. I'm happy that if that works out, if he does get the Liverpool job because of his merit, that means he's done well at Aston Villa and he can't complain.
No. Like you say, he wants to be the one that follows the one that follows Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Your new chairman, I can never say his name. Pulic, is it?
The new Villa chairman?
The owner, yeah.
The owner. So, yeah, we got a few. So, we've got Nasi Suarez and Wes Edens are the money men. But the man who sort of does a lot of the commercial side, the sort of the overseas, Christian Perslow.
Perslow, that's it. I always want to say Pulisic, get it wrong. But I heard him on Talk Sport when they'd brought out the government's inquiry into football, etc. He speaks very, very well, and you know, he has got a handle on what I would call, you know, a decent, if you like, chief executive or whatever his position is. You know, he wasn't, you know, expecting to go and win the Premier League straight away, but he can see there's a plan, and maybe in a few years you'll be up there challenging. But he does seem to have a good handle on what's going to be happening at Aston Villa.
Yeah, there aren't many CEOs like him, in my opinion, who are very good at communicating, but also in terms of not just, you know, articulate, but, you know, he only released a video a week or two ago about the progress of Aston Villa. And it was released on our website about him sort of talking through how the first couple of months go, the reason over Gerrard, the academy, the plan to expand the stadium. So he's very happy to sit and almost communicate to fans those sort of uncertain questions. Which is what every good football club needs.
Yes, definitely. The game, it could have got... I mean, this is the nearest thing where I suppose we've got to it's the only thing we've got in a Midlands derby in the Premier League at the moment. I must admit, going into this, although I'll never predict against my team, I did predict a draw because of the way Leicester are playing at the moment. Did you think coming into this is a good time to be playing Leicester?
I'll be honest, I didn't actually look at Leicester's form coming into this. And I think that's different to how I would have if Dean Smith was in charge. Right. And if I'm being really honest, and I think a lot of Villa fans felt like that, there's such feel-good vibes at Villa and Villa Park that it's just like, bring on whoever's next.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of mantra at the moment. So, you know, I was a bit like, bring on Leicester. We can beat them if we play our game. But also, I did have at the back of my mind, knowing that Leicester haven't been the same sort of outfit as they have been the last couple of seasons. And that's probably why I was even more positive than maybe I would have been a year or two ago.
It's somebody a lot better than me at this one said, it's a funny old game. And, you know, like you said, I just don't know what's happened to Leicester. I mean, our defence, and we can't blame injuries because we've got less injuries this year than we had last season. And we're struggling. Terry says, and David, good evening to both of you, agrees. On the stream he was watching, the commentator said both Villa and Leicester both think having a defence is optional. We definitely do. Do you as well? Do you struggle with that? I mean, I've noticed you are... You've let in 24 this season, which is three less than us, so...
I think under Gerrard, we've definitely shown that we are a lot tighter, a lot tighter ship. If you look at it, we've conceded four goals in four games, one a game. Two of them came against, you know, Manchester City.
Yeah.
And two were great finishes. So you take City out of the equation, one against you, one against Palace. First half, we were defensively a bit of a shambles, and I was a little bit worried that Leicester could have capitalized that on that. And I don't think you did. I don't think you struck the sword where you needed to in that first half. Whereas in the second half, and Gerrard came out and said this, he reorganized the team. And I think we were defensively very good second half.
It was, I think, one of those, as they say, game of two halves. And it was interesting because it was the... And I think this is what annoys a lot of Leicester fans, and no disrespect to Gerrard and Villa, but he's the new kid on the block, if you like. You know, his experience in the Premier League is literally, before the game, was three matches. And he's up against Brendan Rodgers, who's supposed to be, the, you know, be able to walk on water. And he outthought him, and you've now gone above us, albeit by one goal difference in the league. But it's just so annoying, and I just don't know from a Leicester's point of view how we're going to drag ourselves out of this. I mean, you were unlucky last season to not get into Europe, and to be totally honest with you, and congratulations on the win. I'd say overall, you probably just deserved it. But I like to see clubs that aren't in the, well, you know, I call them the ESL 6, and you know, if it's you or West Ham, whoever, getting up there challenging. I think it's great that these clubs can go in and break the ceiling, as they say.
Yeah, I've got to agree. And I think a lot of football fans want to see that. If I'm honest, a lot of football fans would love to see, you know, these different clubs break into Europe.
Yes. And where do you, I mean, we've got to talk about it. I've not mentioned it yet, but the VAR disallowed goal. What are your thoughts on that?
During my watch along, I wasn't happy. I really wasn't happy. I've seen them given in the Premier League this season, in other leagues. Look, the rule's there, and the initial interpretation that they were telling them after the game with the studio is that Kasper Schmeichel had control of the ball for 1/12 of a second. But then I saw something today that you cannot be in control of the ball if there is off a rebound or a goalkeeper save. So again, the interpretation of the rule is, obviously Kasper has made the initial save from Matty Cash. Apparently, you know, from the rule I've read again today, the ruling of it is that the exception of being in control of the ball is off this rebound. And that was a rebound. I wasn't happy with Kasper Schmeichel's reaction. I know maybe the other way, if it was the other way, Emi Martinez may have done the same. But let's be honest, Jacob Ramsey didn't touch his hand. He got all of the ball. And Kasper's gone down like his hand's been stood on and broken, which I get. You're going to try and play and make sure VAR. And I think that had, not going to lie, I think it had a little bit of an impact. Had a little bit of an impact on swaying the decision.
As Facebook user said, I mean, he said there, I'm a Leicester fan, it's a goal all day. And I always look at these things and think, well, if it was the other way, would I be screaming for the goal? And I have to say, yes, I would. And I've just done an FA Cup draw stream with a Burnley fan, and apparently Nick Pope had the ball in his hands. It was headed out of his hands and into the goal. I haven't seen it, to be honest with you, but the guy that was in the middle for that game, was on the VAR for our game, and yet one of them, he's got control when he hasn't got control when he's got two hands on it, but Casper has when he's got one hand on it. And yet Dermot Gallagher, who obviously does these for the Sky and the TV, he's backing it and saying, and I think for me, and then if, because we can also then look at the penalty appeal we had with Luke Thomas, which wasn't a penalty, you know, I think he tripped over himself. But last season, that would have been given. And this is the thing with fans. It's changed every season. We don't know what the bloody rules are.
Yeah, they're changing the laws all the time, and it is getting a bit pedantic and frustrating. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see that rule change again. I'm sure we'll see that rule change again, where all of a sudden the control of the ball is different. You know, as someone's just said there, it might be that you have to have two hands. But, yeah, and, you know, I don't think the referees had a massive say. And I think, you know, if it stayed 1-1, I would have been very frustrated about that decision. But I'm not as bothered because we won, never mind. Well,
of course, that's natural. And you really sort of, you did a Leicester on Leicester, because as soon as we scored, and I've got to be honest with you, Harvey Barnes, it was a great goal. And I thought, great, here we go. You hit us back within a couple of minutes, and then you hit us straight after the after the second half started with the corner. I'm going to ask you about Grealish. I've got to mention him. We're going to go through the show. I mean, £1 billion for him. That's not bad, is it? But is he that much of a miss?
Tough one. Under Dean Smith, 100%. You can see the absence of Grealish. I think under Gerrard, it would have been interesting to see him play under Gerrard and the system that we're playing now and the fast one-touch attacking football. But at the same time, Grealish doesn't play that way. He holds onto the ball for a while. And it would be interesting to see, because Gerrard's philosophy in the final third is quick, interchangeable football. And you would have seen glimpses of that yesterday, where when we play in that final third, it's quick one-touch passes, one or two-touch. Grealish doesn't do that. So it'd be interesting to see how he would have dealt with that in Jack Grealish, and whether he tried to coach that out of him, whether he would allow Grealish to do it. But look, I'm always going to say we would still take Jack, a player of Jack's quality, in our squad, because he's a great player. Whether you take him back, another thing.
I wasn't surprised he was booed because when you played Man City, because ex-players always are, you know, no matter how good they were for you, you know, as in Mahrez and Kante, you do. I can say, do you think, you know, you've answered it really, you know, you said you'd take him back in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, some Villa fans wouldn't. I wouldn't take him back. Well, it's hard because someone like Ashley Young's come back. Now, never did I imagine we'd sign Ashley Young again and him playing for Villa. But, you know, at the end of the day, Grealish's heart is with Villa. You sort of have to look at it and go, he's made a career decision to basically try and win trophies that he would never have the chance of winning at Villa, a Premier League, a Champions League. And he's also getting paid a bit more money as well. So, yeah, I think we'd all do it. But
I think we would. I think if ever we take off our, you know, club coloured tinted spectacles, we do the same in our everyday jobs. Yeah. And, you know, he said it was in his contract, wasn't it? He'd only go for a Champions League club.
Yeah.
And you know, you've got a bit of money out of him. Has that been spent wisely?
It's a hard one. I'm trying to work that out really, because we bought Danny Ings, Buendia and Leon Bailey. Well, what's happened is that Leon Bailey is basically playing every couple of games and getting injured. Danny Ings started really well scoring goals, but has completely fell off the face of the planet and has become sort of like non-existent, and now has picked up an injury. And Buendia is one of these players who's running really hard, shows moments of, and glimpses of quality, but not quite doing enough still to give the numbers to justify it. And it's going to be interesting. You sign three players for the price of one, all on paper, have real good attributes, but it's not worked out yet. So we'll see. Maybe they're a next season sort of player.
Will Gerrard be given money in January?
I think he will. I think that would be part of the agreement that if you're going to come and join us, have a war fund. Whether he goes and raids Rangers is another thing, because I know that, for example, Rangers have got a bit of a financial crisis. They are short of money. You can take some of their players. If I was to see Gerrard take a player, I'd like us to be improved in the fullback area first. That's where I'd like to see Villa improved, attacking fullbacks who can get into that final third. And, you know, I think Matty Cash, our right back, wasted so many opportunities in the final third yesterday from crosses, from shots. So that's where I'd look to invest, yeah.
Just to end on, I appreciate you've got to go. You've got something planned. So just two quick questions. What are your hopes for Villa for the season? And what do you think Leicester can achieve this season?
So before the season started with Dean Smith in charge, I said I want Aston Villa to make progress from last year, which essentially for me was finish above 11th. So top 10. We had our start with Dean Smith and we found ourselves flirting near the bottom. And then all of a sudden I was like, do we need to change our goalposts now? Do we need to just say cement Premier League safety and try and go again? Now Gerrard's back. He's given me belief. It's an open league. I see Wolves up there. I see Brighton up there. I see West Ham up there. I see Spurs. Still going to say finish higher than we are, but I'd love to try and sneak into that eighth place. I really would. And as for Leicester, I think Leicester,
be kind to us.
I think Leicester are going to finish outside the top 10. I think Leicester are going to finish outside the top 10. And I think there's going to be serious questions over Rodgers, whether he is someone that moves on. And he got linked to like the Manchester United job, didn't he? And
he was even being linked with Barcelona. If there was a job going, he was being linked with it. You know, it is a funny season because, I mean, we've seen it. You know, anybody can go out and beat anybody.
Yeah.
You know, whether we've actually punched above our weight for maybe two seasons, and maybe now there's more teams. You know, before the same last season, there was us and West Ham that were trying to break the mold. There's more teams coming through now, which makes it harder. And maybe it's just a season where we've got to go, yeah, let's just consolidate a bit now, you know. But fans, once we do well, we always want to do better, don't we?
Yeah. I don't know if you can correct. Did Leicester spend quite a bit of money in the summer?
Well, we got Ryan Bertrand on a free. Mm-hmm. We got Daka, who looks a really good prospect. And there is Samare, who the door's open on at the moment. So they were the two sort of main buys. Lookman, who is still having trouble with this right wing position. Under couldn't do it last season. Under couldn't do it last season. Lookman is, he flirts. Sometimes he's good. You never know which Lookman's going to turn up. And then we bought Vestergaard in at the last minute. God knows. God help us.
Yeah.
And we're now being linked with Eloise, whatever he's called, another Southampton defender. These are guys we put nine goals past and we've gone out and bought them, and Bertrand was a free. But, you know, they can't even get near the team, so I don't know. Yeah. It is a question. Unfortunately, being fans, we are fickle. And, yeah, I love Rodgers to bits for what he's done, but, yeah. I think it's going to be a tough season, a consolidating season. But it hurts me to say, but I'm going to say it. Well done on the win.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah. That does hurt, you know. And in the FA Cup, come on, Man United. That's all I will say.
Who knows? We got 100% record against Man U so far this season. So
yeah.
Who knows? But that was with Ollie in charge, I guess.
This is the thing, isn't it? It is a different kettle of fish now. But as indeed Villa are. Josh, give everybody a shout out. Your link is in the description below if anybody wants to go and follow you. But just give a shout out to how people can find you on social media and YouTube.
Yeah, cheers, guys. Obviously, channel name of View from the Stands. Though I'm a Villa fan, we do a lot of watch-alongs across different games. And you know, we've got a great community in the chat. Love talking football, like I'm sure you guys love to do. And so View from the Stands on YouTube or social media is at AVFTS1. And really enjoyed talking to Chris. Really appreciate it. And no, thank you for having me on.
Appreciate you coming on. I wanted to do it different this season. So rather than do a preview, I thought I'd do the review. I've not picked the right season to do it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
but there we go. Look, thanks so much for coming on. I really do appreciate you giving up your time. Good luck for the rest of the season, mate. And maybe we'll chat when we play you again later in the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cheers, Chris.
Thanks so much. All the best, mate. Stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. That was Josh from A View from the Stands. Do go and check him out. His link is in the description below on YouTube. Give it a click. It's a really, really, really good channel. Go and check it out. Speaks volumes on Bertrand that in pre-season he looked great, but since he got COVID-19, he's been awful. I mean, you can get long COVID-19, can't you? And that goes on and on and on. Obviously, the name gives it away. And the thing is, David, and I do see what you're saying there, but when Ricardo first came back, he didn't look as good, did he? When, you know, Castagna's come back, he doesn't look half the player that he was before. Madison, he's only just now starting to show the form that we had, because when he came back off injury, you know... I don't know what's happening at this club. I mean, you know, Wesley Fofana, he couldn't believe the... good evening, Rennie, how are you? Wesley came out and said he can't believe how intense the training is here. It must be intense because we're getting so many injuries from non-playing injuries, if you like, so from training. What is going on? Is training too intense? But when these people are injured or got COVID or whatever you... And this is what... You know, it is taking them a long time to come back, and that's understandable. It really, really is, you know, especially for the likes of Jamie Vardy and the older players. But we buy players, and like you said there, I thought Bertrand was good. Pre-season, I thought, this is good. I won't go as far as Brad said about we're paying more than his wage. He's just not got on. He's just not got in. And we bought players... And I know they've got to earn their rights to get into the team, but they haven't been, you know, they haven't. I thought the training ground was supposed to improve us. Well, you've got the facilities, but it's what you do at the facilities, like I say. And I'm not saying that, you know, we sign these players and they should come in. What I worry about is that the injured players that we've got out, well, Wesley, yes, he's a big loss, somebody said earlier, and obviously James Justin, bigger loss than we thought. I mean, he's done, you know, played really better than we thought he would be. I just think when they come back, they're not going to solve. We're not suddenly going to have Fofana back on, let's say, for example, the 15th of December, Justin back on the 16th of December, and then suddenly we're going to start winning every single game. Look at Ricardo, look at Castagna, look at, I was going to say Maradona then, look at Madison. It's going to take them a while to get back in. It's a very, very tough December. And by the end of December, my fear is that we could be out of the Carling Cup because we're playing, you know, away to Liverpool in that. We could be really well down the table, possibly looking, you know, towards the bottom. And remember what happened with Claudio on that. You know, you only get so much free time if you, you know, we're winning something these days. And we could be in the conference in Europa Conference League. So I am worried. Rene, you saying, what is your lineup for Napoli? Do you know what? I can't tell. I really can't tell with Brendan Rodgers. I mean, and I go back to Nigel Pearson. When we were in the Championship, right, before we got promoted, that season, we basically walked the division. We got over 100 points. We broke away winning records, home winning. We broke every record going virtually. And you know what? I could have said on the 5th of December, the team that Nigel would be putting out on the 21st of January, because it was the same team week in, week out, week in, week out. And look what happened. We walked the division. He gets into the Premier League. We have a few good games, and then it all goes wrong because he's changing it week in, week out. He's changing the formation. He's worrying too much about the opposition. That sound like anybody to you? I think that's what Rodgers is doing at the moment. And you know what I mean? I've got a Tuchel. He plays, he's come in at Chelsea. He said, this is my favourite formation. You guys don't work with this formation. You go in. Tammy Abraham, you're not fitting into my idea. I'm getting rid of you. I don't know how good you are. No point in having the players, no matter how good they are, if they don't fit in the way that you think you want to play. And all he does, he's got this system, he's got this formation. You're injured. Out. And he's putting another square block into a square hole. And I just don't, you know. Brendan's trying to overthink things. You know, he sits, he stands on the edge, he applauds, hoping, you know, like a seal, hoping somebody's going to give him a fish. And I worry for him. I worry for him. As I just said then about Dean Smith and Aston Villa to Josh, the Villa fan, some managers have a shelf life that takes them to a certain position. And, you know, once they've hit that, that's as far as they can take the club. Is it with Brendan? Brad, have you calmed down yet? You had a go at me the week before about my rant, and then you were saying virtually exactly the same on your rant. Inacho, I think he's going to want to leave. I mean, you know, God's sake, he was our top scorer last season. Brendan, you're not playing our top scorer from last season. Why? Ward, yeah, I think give Ward a chance. I think Schmeichel needs to be taken out of the spotlight a little bit. You can't pick somebody purely on their name. Has Brendan got the balls and the bottle to do it? Amarte, I never thought I'd be saying this, but bring Amarte back in. I'm not sure about Luckman. I'm really not sure. I think he's going off the boiler for me a little bit. But yeah, Daka and Inacho up front. But then again, Viney didn't start at the weekend. Maybe he's going to be coming on. And it's all right, Brendan. You're thinking like, well, I'm going to put Vardy on for this big game because he's our greatest ever goal scorer. Blah 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 blah. Let's put Vardy on. Give him players. Put players on the pitch that will pass the ball to him. There's no point putting him on there and then putting players on the pitch that aren't going to get the ball through to him. There's no point. There's no point. You see, I'm going now again, aren't I? I think the game versus Napoli will tell us a lot about our mentality and when we have any bottle about us. Quite possibly. I guess that nope is a no to you haven't calmed down yet. You know, who knows what team he's going to break? Who knows what team he's going to pick? Sorry. But certainly, Amarty should be in there. I'd have KDH. I really would have KDH in there. I don't think he did much wrong at the weekend compared to the others. Yeah, Iheanacho, I mean, the guy, like I say, if he doesn't put a transfer request in January, then I would be very, very surprised. Guys, look, we're back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We have, in fact, got the European preview with me and Craig, when we are going to be looking at the Napoli match. And we're going to be having Terry join us. And Terry is a Napoli fan. So that will be interesting. We're actually going to have a Napoli fan on, based in London. He's going to be coming on tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then at 9 o'clock, it's the last X on the pitch of the year. We're giving it a break then over Christmas and New Year. So Julian Watts, obviously ex-Leicester City player, myself, we're going to be looking at each individual team and how they've performed this season. And have they overperformed, underperformed, average, you know. You know what I'm saying. So we're going to be doing that at 9 o'clock. So double trouble tomorrow. Guys, it was nice to have the Aston Villa fan on. It hurt. Believe you me. I felt like this. Yes. I feel like that most times when I watch Leicester these days. Ooh. It's a big, big month. That's all I'm going to say. It is a massive, massive month. I will see you tomorrow night at 7. Thanks to everybody that joined in the chat. Thanks if you're watching this. Thanks if you've listened on the podcast, on all the normal places. And we will see you tomorrow at 7. Good night now.
Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes!
Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.